Broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain, BC, we are CJSF 90.1 FM, and we are diverse, independent, and yours.
Growing up, the world of books is where my imagination lived, like 95% of the time. Novels, anthologies, and books of essays showed me that the world was so much bigger than what my eyes could see. They still do. On this week's episode, student host Emma Jean is joined by Charlotte Knipp, a multi-talented marketer, poet, and writer currently working at Penguin Random House Canada. Charlotte discusses her ever-evolving role in the world of publishing, how she first discovered her voice as a poet, and what it's like to be a social media influencer on the side. I hope you enjoy.
Twenty half poems uncrinkled receipts, a cross stitch of words, loose memories bleeding through the fine line.
The world seems to me to be hard to understand sometimes. You know, as I try to make sense of these moments of sometimes ecstasy or devastation, but more often than not, confusion and restlessness, I find myself going back to this quote from one of my favorite writers, Joan Didion. She once wrote that we tell ourselves stories in order to live. We live entirely, especially if we are writers, by the imposition of a narrative line upon disparate images. This quote kept coming into my mind as I was talking to this week's guest.
I'm Charlotte. I am an SFU MPub graduate, and through that program, I've been able to intern and now have a job at Penguin Random House Canada.
Charlotte Knipp is a storyteller. You may have seen her poetry in Sad Magazine and Rice Paper Magazine.
At 20, I go on cheap dates, pay for losing bits of myself to house special wines in the back of unkempt heads.
Or in the marketing that she does for Penguin Random House Canada, or her social media accounts dedicated to books and Vancouver events and food and live music. She's also a graduate of SFU's Masters of Publishing. Each of these avenues provide a different way for Charlotte to put these narrative lines through the disparate images of her mind and the world around her. She creates these narratives to convey the brilliance of a book, or her own experiences, or the experiences of others to make a living. In short, she tells stories in order to live. So, like I said off the top, Charlotte works at Penguin Random House Canada.
And what I do there is I'm a marketing coordinator for our lifestyle marketing team, working with our cookbooks, sometimes some health books, some more like nonfiction wellness books, but mostly, yeah, cookbooks.
So basically, Charlotte is responsible for promoting books through social media channels, influencer marketing, design, emails, advertising, and beyond. But before we get into that, let's flip back a few chapters and start closer to the beginning of Charlotte's life, as she first fell into the worlds that reading had to offer her.
Growing up, I always read, but it was very like academic. Like I felt like I was just always reading because you would need to for school. But sometime in university, something changed for me where I was able to kind of read books that I was interested in.
For the first time in her life, Charlotte began reading books that mattered to her. And that initial spark of passion is what led Charlotte to pursue her undergraduate degree in English literature. And through the exploration of different genres, find her own voice.
Yeah, definitely taking some like poetry and like nonfiction memoir writing classes in university kind of really opened up my curiosities with writing.
Charlotte remembers one specific course and one assignment in particular that stoked her imagination and gave her the confidence to start seeing herself as a writer.
I think the activity was to create like a shopping list. And through that, we took those images and created it into a poem. So I think that was kind of what started getting me thinking of like poetry and like, oh, all these images in my head, like what am I supposed to do with these images? And then in turn, it became like poems that I would be able to draft, and just being able to put words into imagery really stuck with me. And then I realized like, oh, maybe this is something I'm good at.
And she was. Charlotte started submitting her poetry for publication.
My first piece was with Rice Paper Magazine, which is an Asian Canadian publication. And then that kind of opened my world to like literary magazines and submitting. So yeah, I think that was the start of it.
Mm-hmm. These images that come into your head that you're able to put into poems, do you see particular through lines and what you're drawn to in these different aspects of your work? Are there common themes, common ideas that you find yourself coming back to?
I think I like writing or reading about like people's personal stories. So definitely a lot of like memoirs, a lot of biographies, a lot of like more of the sometimes like self-help or wellness spaces. Because I think I just really love reading about people's like unique experiences with the world. I love reading also about like mental health and like different like, I guess, wellness experiences growing up, and definitely different topics. But I think it all comes back down to like people.
It was people that Charlotte was writing about when she first started her entry into publishing, as an intern for the aforementioned Rice Paper, and then as a marketing and publicity intern for UBC Press. What were you hoping would be on the other side of these experiences? Did you have an idea of different opportunities that you'd hope that these internships would lead to, any sort of career path in mind? Did those ideas change as you went through these different internships?
I think with, Rice Paper, it was definitely very, like, editing focused. Like, I was just brought on to work on different articles, really focusing on, like, that content piece, I guess. Versus at UBC Press, it was definitely more, like, marketing and publicity.
On the other side of her undergrad, Charlotte was looking to expand her publishing game, which led her to SFU. I want to ask you now about your experiences with the Masters of Publishing program. What would you be able to tell me about what your goals were at the beginning of the program? What were you hoping to get out of it? And did those goals change or evolve as you went through the course of the program?
Yeah, so I definitely was convinced that I wanted to be an editor when I joined the program. Like, I think part of my my application to join was like, I'm going to be such a good editor. I have all this experience through like Rice Paper Magazine and all these contacts. And I think like after probably like the first month or so, like through doing the different courses, I realized that like, oh my God, there's such a bigger world in like marketing and publicity. Like, I feel like more passionate and inspired by the assignments for those topics and those classes. I think I was really drawn to it, and that kind of like got me thinking like, oh, like, can I be a marketer? Like, can I be a publicist? Like, do I need a degree, or do I need any like follow-up courses or so on to be that? Because in my head, I always thought like marketing people, they have to come from business school. They have to, you know, do like specific degrees to be able to get a job in that. But I learned from the program that that's not always the case. Like, there's a lot of people that have done this program and have come out of it being marketers. I think that was what was really inspiring for me, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll try it. But what's funny is that like part of the program is everybody has to do a internship at a publishing house, and I ended up doing mine at Pingarano House, so where I'm working at now, but as an editing internship before there was any kind of marketing opportunities available. So I think that internship really solidified to me that like, okay, yeah, editings might not be for me. Like, I definitely still feel more drawn to marketing. And then eventually like an opportunity opened up. So that was what I pursued to get to where I'm now.
Do you find that a lot of your colleagues have that experience? Is there a lot of room to shift into different roles and try different departments and maybe find something that's more suitable for your specific talents and interests? Is that a common experience, do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like, classmates that, same thing, came in convinced they wanted to be editors, but now are like book designers, or some people that have like a marketing publicity background, but now they're in sales. So like, it's definitely very movable. Like, I feel like a lot of people discover like, oh, I want to try something different, and they're actually able to find careers in the new area. So yeah, definitely very open.
Charlotte's role at Penguin Random House Canada has evolved over the years and allows her to touch on different marketing aspects within the publisher.
I started at Appetite by Random House, which is our, again, like more lifestyle marketing, cookbooks, food and cooking kind of imprint. But across Penguin Random House Canada, we have like different other imprints that also touch on cookbooks, and then also some of our US imprints that we do distribution for. So now I kind of work on like all lifestyle titles in the company.
Wonderful. What would be your favorite part of your job if you had to choose?
Okay, well, the best part of my job is the fact that I get to work on different projects and different tasks for all of the books that I get to work on. So I definitely love like that busyness and feeling like I can work on different aspects, whether that's like social media marketing or like ads or like sometimes like some design creation. So I think my favorite part is being able to feel so busy, but also so creative. Like I'm constantly like creating something or kind of like researching information or looking at data. Like it feels very fulfilling to generate so much creativity.
That sounds like a great combination to always be having things to do, but they're always creative, interesting things that you're able to exercise that sort of creative instinct. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
What would you say your average workday looks like?
I feel like no day is the same. Like one day can be like all meetings, or another day can be a little bit more like self, like alone time to work on creative assets and researching different influencers. So I think I like the variety, but also in terms of like if there was a topic that I could specify on, like I definitely love influencer marketing. I love kind of researching influencers and kind of reaching out to see if they would want to partner with us on opportunities. Like I think that outreach is really fun because I get to like communicate with different influencers and kind of figure out like what content they're creating and build those relationships that we foster for different books that we publish. So that outreach part is definitely very fulfilling.
Charlotte's specialty in influencer marketing isn't just because of her marketing mind, but because it takes one to know one. I wanted to ask, I know you have your own social media presence where you promote, am I correct? It's an Instagram account dedicated to what you're reading, all the different books that you're passionate about, to use the term Bookstagram, like an Instagram account dedicated to books. And then the other one is more your own outside interests, like music and food and different events around town in Vancouver. Could you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah. Definitely. I think through working my job, I always wanted to create like a Bookstagram account because, you know, I do so much outreach to different Bookstagram accounts. So I think one of the goals I had last year was like, okay, I'm going to create my own Bookstagram account. I'm just going to document whatever I'm reading and just like share it to the world. And I think I had so much hesitancy and like a struggle with it because I felt like I was just already doing that for work, and so I had no more like creative juices to be devoting to like my own platform. So I think eventually last year when my friends just convinced me like, okay, you should just do it, just start the account and just see where it takes you, which is what I did. So now I'm kind of like on and off on it. Like I think sometimes when I read a really good book or it's like really popular or trending, then I'll post something and a little kind of like, hey, I'm still alive, I'm still around, I'm still reading kind of post. And then in terms of my personal Instagram, yeah, I think I've always wanted to just post whatever like experience I'm at or different kind of, I live in Vancouver, so different city. So just like a personal space to post if like I'm trying a new cafe or if you go to like, yeah, concerts and, you know, fun things that I get to do around the city with my friends. So
fantastic. Would you consider yourself to be a big live music fan then?
I am definitely a concert fangirl, a concert junkie. Like if there's anything anybody needs to know about me, it's that I love Taylor Swift and I'm a concert fanatic.
Okay, I have to ask then, what's the best concert you've ever been to?
Taylor's Eras Tour has been like the best concert ever. She sang for like 3 hours straight. Like there was no big breaks. Like she just had such a performance to every era that were so unique and different. Like, yeah, I highly recommend. Hopefully people can get tickets to the Vancouver show because, yeah, it's next level.
Yeah, I think definitely one of my favorite concerts that I've been to, certainly most memorable, was when she came to Vancouver and did Red. And that was, yes. It blew my mind, my little tween 12-year-old mind.
Yeah, oh my God. So fun.
And with that, Taylor Swift has been mentioned on every podcast ever recorded. Congrats, Taylor. This recent era of Charlotte's own life is one marked by success. A job that is constantly creative, that promotes literacy and culinary arts, and allows time for your own creative endeavors? It sounds pretty ideal to me, but it's easier said than done. Now that you have this position where you can be creative full time, how has that changed your own creative output for your own work that you want to do?
Yeah, I think it's definitely been really hard because I work 8 hours a day, and that's a big chunk of your day that kind of gets blocked off for professional work. So I think it's often hard to find time after work to still be writing or still feel creative, because you feel like, oh, like I just gave all my energy to a piece of work, and now I might just want to like chill, or just want to be with friends, or just want to be with family. Like, I want some rest time. Yeah, finding the time, I think, is like the hardest part. But I think recently I've been trying to dedicate like maybe weekends to see if I could like maybe even find like an hour, or even like meeting friends at a cafe to work on something together, so it feels social and I'm working on something productive. So I think that has been helping. But I think, yeah, most days it's just a matter of like work and then trying to make a balance for like friends, family, and personal time.
Going back to these different facets of your work and all your different types of creative output.
Yeah.
What are your main goals for the future for these different paths?
Yeah, so I think my next big creative goal is to publish something for myself. Like, I think I always, again, wanted to be a published author, but to get there, I think a full length novel seems a little very daunting. So I think to start with a chapbook feels a little bit more realistic.
A chapbook is a small book of poems or stories for the uninitiated.
And yeah, I've been kind of working on a manuscript right now, kind of working with the editor to get it edited in shape. And potentially, I think I'll be submitting to different publishing houses soon. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it works out. Thanks. So yeah, I think really working on my chapbook, kind of getting it published. And then from that, like maybe I would potentially look at publishing my own poetry book. Like if I get really good feedback and good engagement with that, like maybe I could look into working on like a full length poetry book, because I think there's always like, I've always had these poems kind of in my head, in my notebooks, in my like iPhone notes app. They're kind of all there. Like I just need to kind of put it together and kind of string it along around a central theme. So I think that's hopefully within a 5 years goal.
Charlotte was generous enough to share a poem that she wrote about an earlier chapter on the subject of growth, longing, and what it is to be 20 years old.
20 is a dream. 20 half poems on crinkled receipts, a cross stitch of words, loose memories bleeding through the fine line. At 20, I go on cheap dates, pay for losing bits of myself to house special wines and the back of unkempt heads. I take hostage in back seats and sunroofs, staring at foggy Vancouver, sighing. At 20, I meet Hugh Dancy in a bookstore. Time slows. With my birthday drinks, my 20th summer rolls into London. Big Ben looks a little gray. I breathe the same pollution as the Queen. At 20, I'm called a racial slur for the first time in Chinatown. I almost throw my cha siu bao across the street, sighing. I come home to ghosts under my bed, vacuum the crumbs of ripped receipts to make room for dreaming. 20 is a dream. The sky is saltwater taffy, Asian waves around my every curve, and I float.
Thinking back to that poem, what would you want to tell yourself at 20?
My younger self was so scared of not knowing what to do with my English degree. Like, I think I was so focused on like finishing the degree, so focused on like, you know, doing well in the courses, that I didn't really, I feel like I didn't give enough time to really explore the connections and kind of explore like different, maybe like different workshops, different reading opportunities, different reaching out to professors to learn more about like a certain topic or a certain book that we are reading. Like I feel like I didn't really reach out enough to make those connections. So I think if I could, I would probably tell myself to not be afraid to, you know, stay after class and really learn more about whatever the professor's work was or whatever book we were reading, seeing if there are different opportunities to learn different types of writing. Like I think that would be what I would want to tell my younger self. But also, like, to not be afraid to just apply to the different submissions for literary magazines, because I think for the longest time, again, I felt like, okay, I had to finish the assignment. I had to, like, just write this piece to fit the teacher's requirements. And then from there, I just never did anything with my writing. Like, I just felt, again, so academic. So I wish, like, I can explore different literary magazines and maybe try to get published, like, at an earlier time. So then I would kind of get more used to the feeling of applying and maybe being published or applying and getting rejected and having that a better grasp of that process. And then I guess that would be like an earlier start to getting my work online and public. I wish there were more people that were open to talking about their experiences and kind of offering their advice to help with their career. So definitely providing that support. But also, like, yeah, I'm rooting for everybody. Like, I feel like if we put in the work, like, I definitely feel very hopeful for everybody that's listening to, you know, finish your degrees and kind of pursue your passions and all the different jobs that you might want. Like, I feel it's very possible. So I'm hoping to spread, like, that good vibe and good luck to everybody, and to continue, you know, powering on and being curious, I guess.
If we do tell stories in order to live, then it seems like Charlotte and her images have enough to last a lifetime. I hope you do too.
Many thanks to Charlotte Knipp for sharing her passion and her poetry. What an absolute treat. You can follow her on Instagram, at Charlotte Knipp. And check out her Bookstagram, at Seasonally Reading. Charlotte was also generous enough to share that if you're an SFU student interested in learning more about the publishing industry, you're welcome to reach out to her on LinkedIn with any questions. FCAT After School is produced by Emma Jean, Torian Cafferata, and Stephanie Werner, with help from Stu Pop and Tessa Perkins Deneau. We respectfully acknowledge the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Katsi, Kwikwetlem, Kakite, Kwantlen, Semiamu, and Sawasin's peoples, on whose unceded traditional territories our three campuses reside, and where many of the stories shared in our series take place. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave us a rating and subscribe to FCAT After School wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on social media at FCAT at SFU. That's FCAT at SFU across all platforms. For feedback or guest suggestions, reach us by email at fcateng@sfu.ca. All links in the show notes. See you next time.
Hello, this is Kelly from the Peak Publication Society, SFU student-led newspaper. Recently, news organizations have been facing issues sharing news content. All news outlets, including small publications like us, have been affected due to Meta's refusal to comply with the Online News Act and compensate news companies. We have been serving our diverse student community for years and need your support to continue. If you'd like to contribute as a paid writer, illustrator, or photographer, follow us on Instagram at @thepeak@SFU. Keep reading our stories at the-peak.ca. If Meta is listening, we're just a community promoting SFU events. Please don't block us again.
Ha hu agestig ri CGSF, nached poing aun FM, Kraalevo Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hello, and welcome to Rabble Radio. It's Friday, May 31st, 2024. I'm your host, Brianne Doyle. Thanks so much for tuning in. Rabble's got its finger on the beat of the issues that matter to you. If you're curious about the latest news in Canadian politics, labor, environment, or social justice, you've come to the right place. This is news for the rest of us, free of corporate influence. Under the Rachel Notley NDP government in Alberta in 2015, and in response to public outcry over excessive compensation and benefits for public sector senior executives, the Public Sector Compensation Transparency Act was introduced. With the act came the creation of sunshine lists, which outlined the compensation for all public sector workers whose earnings exceeded a certain threshold. In a blog post by the Parkland Institute, Jason Foster explains the act and lists were originally created in hopes that disclosing names, salaries, and benefits would curb tendencies toward financial excess by senior executives. He continues, "Whether it has worked as intended is an open question. What is clear is that it's something of a blunt tool." And this